This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.
Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny. Alice's morning show. It's Hope Day. In 1 hour, our dear friend, Matt Nathanson, will be joining the show, bringing us some holiday cheer. We're very excited to see him. Thanks for getting that set up, Maddie. Just be fun. We'll torture him with a quiz or something. Let's have a good time.
Yeah, we got a fun quiz for the three of you. I've got something planned.
Is it Christmassy?
It's very Christmas.
Excellent. I want some Christmas.
It's very
cheer.
Halloween-y. No, it's...
Halloween-y?
No, it's totally Christmas.
All right. Let's see. I want to start with the 47th season finale of Survivor is on tonight on CBS. I won't get to watch that tonight, but I will watch it tomorrow and we'll talk about it on Friday. You probably won't get through the whole thing, huh? You hardly ever watch the thing.
I never watch the finale and I have no intention of watching this one. I will look it up at a certain point tonight to find out before I go to bed who in fact won and if
it's so funny. Like,
the
I feel
person
so invested
I
in it.
Want to win will win.
Well, I think you're right about that.
Who do you two want to win?
Well, I think that I want Rachel to win.
Yes.
And I think that Rachel will win. And Rachel played a great game. Like, I think if she can make good, solid arguments for herself, she totally wins that game.
And she's cute as a button.
She really is cute.
I like her freckles.
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah. She's a cute girl. And she just is smart. She's got it. She's played a good game and had to save herself a bunch of times. Like, she's really...
If she loses, it'll be because something goes wrong in these final, like, in the final countdown here.
Right. I think that she... Don't they say that she's good at making fire, too? Because that's, to mm-hmm. me, that's the only way she can get knocked out is if she doesn't win the immunity and isn't selected to go forward... Now she's got to make fire with the third and fourth person have to make fire so that only three go to the finals. But I think she's good at that. I think that they've said that she's...
Yeah, you know, that is one of those things, though. You can be good at something and still lose.
And be so nervous or mm-hmm. just things go wrong. A wind kicks up and your whole pile falls over.
But this is what is cool, I imagine, about... I've never watched them do... Well, I've seen the fire challenge... In many previous episodes, I've never seen the finale where this is now regular. It's like a regular part of it, right?
Yes. And now I wonder, Vin, because I always feel like you're missing out by not watching the finale. You
I'm
know
sure
that
I
if, it's
am,
a,
but...
if it's a 2 hour thing, I don't know if it's 2 hours or 3 hours. They've finished it by there's an hour long reunion or not even a reunion, really, because they do it all right there on the.
I can't sit through the retrospective. I just really can't.
Oh, like, you can't fast forward it, can you?
No, and I just really feel like I'm not going to walk around all clenched up, threatening everyone to not tell me something. Like, I just can't. Forget it. I'll just find out. It's not worth it.
Oh, I think it's totally worth it.
Okay. And I'm not telling you to
No, I just I just kind of feel bad for you.
I know what I should do.
Enjoy it, right?
And I'm not going to walk around trying to
Forget it.
I'll just look it up. You're not going to spoil nothing for me because I did it to myself.
I did it to myself.
Yep.
I spoiled the whole thing for myself. Took care of that. If it's going to get spoiled, I'm the one who's going to do it.
Well, because if you're going to walk in tomorrow and there's going to be a text right away. That's going to say something
about
the winner.
I don't see the text.
There's too many places where we'll get through it. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to.
If I see anything come across my desk tomorrow that says anything about who won Survivor, I find a way to look away. Unless it like starts with Rachel wins Survivor or whoever. Then I'm like, ah.
Good luck with that.
Well.
I won't put it on the prep sheet, but I'm not saying it's not going to be on there somewhere.
No, I look. I mean, I do what I can to avoid it. And I can't say it's never been spoiled for me. But I don't spoil it for John. And I watch it as though I don't know what's going to happen. And I tell him I don't know, even if I do know.
Because
I
don't want to. Nice lady.
Well, you know, we enjoy that show. It's funny because sometimes we'll be watching it as we're leading up to, it's leading up to bedtime. You know, I go to bed so early, 6:30, 7 o'clock. And we're sitting there watching it. And I'm trying to get through it before I got to do all my stuff before I go to bed. And he is the guy, John's whole thing is when we're watching a show together, it gets paused. And it gets discussed, which is great that we can pause it now. Remember back in the old days when someone would be talking, you'd be like, I am totally missing the show that you supposedly wanted to watch. Make notes. We'll talk about it after the show. Now you can pause it. Kids, in the olden days, TV
Thank
was a little different.
Thank God for the
pause. No doubt. Because, and then sometimes he gets going so hard that I have to be like, I need to go to bed soon. I feel like we've covered this topic about this particular challenge. Let's continue on with the show. Let's do that. In fact, so all I really wanted to say was the Survivor season finale's tonight on CBS. Welcome to our old home. There is something called Gordon Ramsay's Festive Home Cooking, which sounds like holiday recipes and crap. It's on Hulu. And this is the series premiere of it is tonight. So heads up, people who love to cook delicious festive foods.
All right.
I suppose all year round, there's holidays that maybe, or, you know, specific, even cultural things that people are like, here's some festive foods that you can prepare for that. Then this looks, personally, I think this looks great. I posted the trailer for this up on the Sarah and Vinny Facebook page. This is the series premiere of The Secret Lives of Animals. It's a show on Apple TV Plus. And Hugh Bonneville from Downton Abbey, Lord Grantham, is the narrator. It's a documentary series that highlights 77 unique species across 24 countries. So, and as I watch the trailer, I don't think Hugh Bonneville is doing the voiceover for the trailer, but it does look fast. You know, it's one of those things where they've got so, like, nature photography is so amazing now, especially with like everything we can do to manipulate film and the HD. And it's just, you're right there in the gecko's eyeball or wherever. And it looks really, I thought, oh, that looks really fun. Sent that trailer to my fam. Like, let's watch this. The Wicked Part 2, hello, has an official title. It's called is the first one just called Wicked Part 1? Was there another title involved with that? This one is called Wicked for Good.
Mm.
Wicked : for Good.
I don't remember there being anything other than Wicked Part 1.
In fact, they're calling it Wicked Part 1 in this story. It's not going to be part two. It's been changed. It's Wicked for Good. Wicked Part 1 has been out for less than a month. This story is from yesterday, so maybe these numbers are even higher. It's grossed about $400 million domestically and over it has grossed $359 million domestically and more than $524 million worldwide. So it's pushing a billion. It's getting there.
Not a children's book, just so you know.
The book itself, adult theme.
Not for kids.
It's currently the highest grossing Broadway adaptation in domestic box office history, ahead of 1978's Grease, which made $188 million, and the second biggest worldwide, which I actually think, I don't know if that's adjusted for inflation because Grease was huge and has been on TV a zillion times. I'm sure it's made tons of money. So $188 million.
The Color Purple, is that not on the list?
This is the highest grossing Broadway adaptation. So the second highest is Mamma Mia, $611 million.
Okay.
The third highest, apparently, is Greece.
Hamilton? Or did they not make a movie of that?
A movie out of that?
No, I don't think so.
I'm not looking. I don't see a full list. I just see that those two are apparently the top earners there. But it is true that there are tons of Broadway shows have been made.
I thought The Color Purple was the best example of, like, that thing won tons of awards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Cynthia Erivo came from, was the original Color Purple.
I want to say it was a movie. Maybe it was a movie before.
It
was a movie before.
Because it was a book.
Yeah.
And then it was.
Oh, okay. I didn't know
maybe,
that.
So maybe. I don't know what that made at the box office either.
And you're right. She was in that.
I think there's been more. You mean the Broadway production?
Yeah, Cynthia was in
she. It. I was really. I did not know that. I know her only as Holly, a character from a Stephen King book. Outsider.
She's also very punk rock looking in her day to day life. Like you, they said that she had to put covers on her ears because she's heavily pierced.
Yep.
She's got a septum piercing in her, and which I'm not saying.
She wears those super spiky claws.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm just simply saying you don't know her and then you see her and then there's the mystery though for me changed entirely the minute she started singing. I was like, oh, this chick freaking sings.
Yeah.
She kept up with, if not beat out, just the simple power of her voice.
I completely concur. I really felt that she, and you had said that before I saw the movie, so I was kind of waiting for it and expecting it and really was not disappointed. Like, didn't somebody say that there's like the flourish that's at the end of Defying Gravity? That Adele Dazeem did in the original recording of it. And they said that she had changed it up and she did change it a little, but it wasn't like a completely different.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I just going from having seen her as Holly and then at hearing she's now the star of this, and they didn't really show any music in the commercials for it. So at that point, I'm just going, this is the, and then you're seeing the press photos. But when I sat down in the theater and watched her, there's a scene where she's running towards this cliff and she's just letting it rip. And I'm going, wow, she can sing.
Mm-hmm.
All the hype is real. So that's just, you know, one person's opinion. But I did feel like
sometimes the hype is real.
She's good.
Yeah. Elphaba. Okay. So anyways, part two is going to be called For Good. It's called Wicked For Good. Next up is the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress collects our stuff and saves it for us, the people. And they have a National Film Registry. So the Library of Congress's National Film Registry, to make that registry, a movie has to be at least 10 years. It's like a Hall of Fame for, you know, American pop culture, this particular thing. So to make the registry, the movie has to be at least 10 years old and have some sort of cultural, historical, or aesthetic significance. Like, I feel like Barbie will eventually be on this list. Mm. And I'm sure there's a long list of absolute movie classics. So there are about 25 films being inducted for preservation, they call it, this year. And I don't know if that's like the number that they do every year, but that's what they're doing this year. So as I looked through this list, I said, oh my God, Cheech and Chong's Up in Smoke from 1978 is going into the Library of Congress's National Film Registry. And based on what they're saying here, some sort of cultural, historical, or aesthetic significance, it was definitely humor and life-shaping for me. Like, those Cheech and Chong movies were great.
I love Cheech and Chong. I love the records.
Mm-hmm.
I love the movies. The movies are, I understand. You're sitting there going, of course he does. That's fine. Say whatever you want about me.
And then smoke a bowl and watch them for yourself.
Those boys are geniuses when it comes to their little buddy movies. Like, and that's what they are. They're buddy movies.
They are.
Oh my, I've never seen anyone take so much acid. Oh! Like, what? Like, I just love everything about the they're at a pot farm and there's a swimming pool tarp over the top.
So if you're flying over it, if you're the government flying over it, it's like, it and looks the like tear, there's a pool. And
there's guys on a ladder pretending to swim, like all the stuff. It's so good. Yeah. I just love them.
And you're right. The albums were, I couldn't believe my mom let me listen to those. And I'm like, look back on it like, that was such
a
Yeah,
wouldn't happen today. But
no, I know. Well, and I don't, you know, I haven't watched them or gone back and looked at them in years and years. Like, I wonder if they'd still hold up. I'd hear like a thing here or there and I go, oh yeah, that. But I wonder if I'd just be like, these are dumb, or I'd need to be stoned to watch them.
I just love it's the same as Dumb and Dumber, that these two dudes in their own little world out in the world.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's like this adventure they're on. And even though it's just
among
day-to-day
all the regular
life,
people.
Yeah, that's it. But I love it.
That's actually a really good parallel to pull there. The Dumb and Dumber guys. It's like, how are these two getting through the day, Cheech and Chong style? Anyway,
so I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I thought that's great. Cheech and Chong's 1978 movie Up in Smoke is officially being added to the Library of Congress's National Film Registry. 25 films are going in this year. And again, the requirements are they got to be 10 years old and have some sort of cultural, historical, or aesthetic significance. Others that are coming in this year, Pride of the Yankees from 1942, Invaders from Mars from 1953. Let me see what ones will. Oh, Beverly Hills Cop from 1984. Yay. Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan from 1982. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre from 1974. Dirty Dancing, just getting in, from 1987. Spy Kids, randomly, from 2001.
I like Spy Kids.
Yeah, it's good. It's just, it doesn't feel like necessary. It doesn't come up to Cheech and Chong standards for me, but okay.
Wow.
No Country for Old Men from 07. The Social Network from 2010. And a bunch more. There's a whole bunch that are going in. But anyway, I just thought, yeah, that's fun. Okay. I don't like this story, and I really feel like...
Wait, sell it.
Makes me kind of mad. I'm telling you because I think that having influence from inside prison on what happens on the world outside, I think it's wrong and it should be prevented. And I get that people should be able to talk to their people, but they shouldn't have someone on the outside who's paying people to torture someone else. Megan Thee Stallion says that Tory Lanez, or however you say Tory Lanez, I don't know, the guy who shot her in the foot. She says that Tory is harassing her from prison. He's serving a 10-year sentence for shooting Megan Thee Stallion in the foot. So, you know, what did he say? Dance? Mm-hmm. And start shooting down at her feet. So that doesn't mean he's leaving her alone just because he's in prison. She says he is totally harassing her. She's seeking a restraining order, claiming he pays an army of bloggers to spread defamatory statements about her. She actually wound up suing one of them, a woman named Elizabeth Milagro Cooper, a few months ago. She says that prison, this is Megan Thee Stallion, she says prison phone logs and financial records prove that Tory was paying Elizabeth to stay on Megan Thee Stallion's case, and that his continued, quote, psychological warfare has ruined her life and estranged her from her friends. She wants the court to bar him from harassing her directly or through third parties. And honestly, that's not, I truly feel that this should be punished. This is terrible. You shouldn't be able to put somebody away. You're like, oh, that guy shot me, and now he's doing prison time, and he's still torturing me on the outside. That's horrible.
I don't know the whole story. I didn't follow even the case, but I do feel really bad for her having gone through that. You could tell some of the stuff you read to us about how horrible she felt being treated that badly by someone she thought was a friend. You're gonna shoot at my feet and tell me to dance like I'm in a Western, an old time Western movie.
Right
here on the street. You're gonna do that and hit me.
Right.
She got shot.
Yes.
So I feel terrible for her. I follow her and I root for her. I'm not really, I can't say I've listened to, I've never pressed play on a Megan Thee Stallion song, but I root for her.
Well, is she the nasty, ratchet, something?
I don't know. I don't.
There's one huge song, though. Savage. That's it. Savage, I think. Don't play it, though.
No.
I'm pretty sure that's one. That one we need
no,
to.
I got an email yesterday. Yeah, don't play be playing anything. That. Maddie, don't play. Don't hit
Maddie,
play.
Maddie, don't play anything on the show. Okay, so anyway, Megan Thee Stallion is, she's being tortured. I think it's terrible. I really feel like this should be punished. And well, the people who act on his behalf should also be punished.
Maybe there should be, well, that's actually a strange consideration too, is pursuing them who are torturing her. But I would say, yeah, add time to his,
yeah.
That's not, you know, you get off for good behavior. Well, you should get more for bad behavior.
That's terrible behavior, right? Mm-hmm. Extend it, right. Extend his prison sentence.
I don't know this guy either. Like,
me either.
I certainly listened to rap in the late 80s and 90s, and I haven't gotten behind many of the current artists. Is Tory Lanez like a big shot? Is he great?
I truly don't know.
I've never heard a Tory Lanez song.
One of the things I heard is that he was, Megan and Tory were friends and were coming up together, and she was starting to really take off, and that some people say he was jealous and wanted to show her place.
I like hip hop. I follow hip hop. He's not a big deal.
Okay.
He is Canadian, though.
Another one of these Canadians. You know what? I don't like him. I don't like Drake. And I don't like this guy.
Canuck rappers. Get out.
Yeah, no more. Actually, I don't know his songs at all. So there's that. That's what I know of it. And
sorry to hear that.
I know. I feel really bad for her. Like, to have been shot and continue to be harassment and torture. Like, yes, extend his sentence and make sure that he can't get at her later. Because at first I thought, how is he even getting access to her? Even if he could influence people, like, why would she, how are they getting to her? Nobody's getting to her. But I suppose if he's doing this stuff and stuff is getting in front of her friends and it's causing fights with her, like, he's just staying in her life. He's like in it. He's got his claws in. Okay, next story about terrible people. I don't know if this guy's terrible or not, but...
I'll let you know.
Okay, Garth Brooks, his sex assault case will not be dismissed. At least not now.
I can't let you know about this one. He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I have questioned, I think I've even asked you on the air, this story broke, which the story is, what did he do to...
He exposed himself and hold on, let me find the exact thing here. Garth's former hair and makeup artist filed a suit against him in October, claiming he exposed himself and was less than professional in other ways too. So I don't have the full, and he's saying, he's accusing her of defamation and extortion.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't, it's hard to, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I know.
I can't say. He right. seemed like a nice enough guy to me, and he seemed sort of like a one of those, that guy's one of the biggest artists in the world? Really? Yeah. Okay. But then the biggest artist in the world would have, you know, quite the ego, wouldn't right. he?
And a lot of power. My only thought on this is because I don't know if it's true or not. And I do believe that sometimes people get extorted because they're rich and somebody says, oh, that one time I walked in on him and his pants were down and he was like, what the? And I saw his wiener and now I'm going to say he flashed it to me or, you know, whatever, is how you don't hear about this. And maybe I'm just not listening to enough country music news or something.
Nobody's talking about it.
Nobody. I feel like no one's talking about it.
It disappeared.
Because I went back home and there's a lot of country listeners that I grew up with. And I was kind of like, what do you all think about Garth Brooks? Oh, I don't. No.
They don't want to believe it.
Don't want to believe it. Don't want to talk about it. No way. There's just, he's one of those, you know, people put him on a big pedestal.
Yes. Yeah. I wondered about it. And it's, I guess...
Well, he'll get his day in court, I'm sure.
Exactly. Although I will say, so he asked the whole thing be tossed out and the judge said no, but the request for tossing the case was denied without prejudice, which apparently means he can still ask for it to be dismissed again at a later date, but not until the defamation case is worked out. So
I've been interested mildly or, you know, sort of a little bit because I'm a Jay-Z fan. The way he's gone back at the person suing him has been interesting. He's gone hard at, you're blackmailing me and I'm going to uncover you. And then the other guy's like, hey, he's being a bully. Well,
you're also being a bully.
It's interesting where that's going to go. I don't know.
Yeah. The quote I saw was from from Jay-Z. So Jay-Z has been accused of raping an underage minor in the year 2000 with Diddy, and his basic he isn't going to get shaken down, says the lawyer. And they're saying, why, if this happened, is it being handled is it a civil suit and not a criminal suit? It's like, if he said, if this happened, you should be taking me to court to get me thrown in jail, right? Not just to get money out
of
me.
The other thing is they've already shown there to be discrepancies in her story.
Yes.
So they were like, that's not true because I was not there and can prove that.
Right.
And then this isn't true because this person is saying, I didn't do that. So there's a lot of, like, that's makes it hard to believe a story when there's already discrepancies and they're not in court yet.
Oh, and the time is okay. Anyway, so there's a couple of people who are in the thick of it, whether you hear about it a lot or not. What's coming up in the news?
And the time is?
Oh. 1 o'clock?
I was just repeating you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Atlas at 97.3.
Swing your hips. Arms. Alice at 97.3, Sarah and Vinny, Alice's Morning Show. We are not far away from Matt Nathanson. Matt Nathanson's going to be on the show coming up here at 8 a.m. Oh, my goodness. That's
yay!
I didn't mean to.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, everyone? This Alice Report is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank Foundation is adding extra sparkle to our Bay Area communities through its annual holiday grant giving.
Wow.
A part of Fremont Bank's long tradition of giving back. Visit FremontBank.com today. That's FremontBank.com. Here's what's happening. So in the minutes that I walked away from the window that I was out there and there was some blue sky, but I could see looking north, like, oh, there's fog rolling in though. So, and then it has since blocked out the blue.
Rolled right on in.
So we've got mostly clear conditions, depending on where you're at. Fog, patchy, depending on where you're at. And clouds will kind of stack up today as the day rolls on. But no rain expected until Saturday. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy holidays. Whatever you celebrate, I hope this is a great season for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean it.
Count your blessings, everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This first story.
Uh-oh, what's that look for?
It's, you know.
You're not into this.
No, I am into it. And it's one of those hard, cold splashes of water that every man, woman, and child needs to embrace. And I do embrace it. I did also try to talk her out of, you know, taking on as much as she has, but we're here and it's happening and this is fact.
Okay.
Even if parents think they're splitting household chores, 71% of the brain work falls on moms. The mental load, first of all, I don't believe there's an even split. Even if you sit there and say,
and
I'll take
out on
this,
paper, right?
You take that, I'll take this. It doesn't end up being even no matter what. Then on top of that, all the stuff that we were just talking about, this Christmas cards, I would never take that on. Oh, you don't want to do them? Good, because we're not doing them. Like, I'm just not, there's no capacity
right
here for that.
You're not like, oh, well, if you're not going to do them, then I have to do them.
Now, we've had conversations within my own household. Our oldest daughter takes up a lot of my wife's time between the doctor stuff and then the theater stuff. Yep. And like, she just, and it's always been the case since she was born. She's been those two.
Mm-hmm.
As our second kid came around, I have seen the time disparity and filled in.
Oh.
Like, that's why I take my kid, the youngest, to gymnastics and soccer. And there's things where I go,
well, you're pulling your weight.
I got to jump in.
Right.
Like, that, it's just not fair. This kid's not getting her fair share. So we're doing that. But what I'm saying is, no matter how hard you try, moms get hit hardest.
Mm.
So just because you took the trash out, and I do that.
How nice of you. You also do all the dishes.
I do the dishes as well.
You clean the whole kitchen or you just do the dishes?
No, I do the dishes.
So everybody cleans up and brings it all over to you and you're there doing the dishes.
It wouldn't matter. Even if I did clean up, she would still come around and go, this isn't clean enough.
Oh.
Like, she likes.
How interesting.
She likes to come down to no clutter.
Ah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's just her
thing. All the counters
are
cleared off. Things are in their right place. The counter's been wiped. There's nothing worse than like tacky crap on a countertop. Ugh.
A study in the Journal of Marriage and Family analyzed 3,000 American households with at least one child under the age of 18. And it found that at the very least, the mental load disparity is part of the problem because most of the brain work falls on moms. Fathers manage. So they say fathers manage about half.
Well, they got about half the brain. So works out. Just kidding, guys. You're really smart. Don't worry. You can do things too.
The study identified two categories of brain labor: daily tasks focused on immediate family well-being and episodic tasks related to maintenance and finances. Mothers shoulder the 79% of daily cognitive tasks, more than twice of what fathers do.
Yeah.
That includes tracking children's schedules, meal planning, monitoring household supplies.
Yeah.
Does it sound familiar?
No, because I don't do that stuff. And I never did because I'm definitely the dumb dude in my relationship. Like, John had to do all that stuff and he wanted to.
Fathers do take on more episodic mental work, though mothers still handle a significant portion of these tasks as well. And it sounds like there's some duplication there. But I bring up this story because it's after a long year. Mom, your wife, they're probably tired.
Yeah.
And they're probably working extra to make the holidays good. So do something nice, would you? Don't forget.
Don't forget mom.
For single
parents.
But also
don't forget dad. Like, you know, while maybe he doesn't shoulder all of it, like it's effort raising children.
That's for sure.
For everybody, even for the kids. Like, life is not easy all the time anyway.
When we talked about having kids, though, there was this conversation of, as two people who work and two people who like to exercise, and how are we going to fit this in? And I truly did tell her, like, you know what you could do? You could run marathons around the world and I'll just follow you. I'll just tag along and then we won't have kids, but we'll travel the world and you'll run and run and run and I'll surf and surf and surf. And then
we'll
there will
eat
just
whatever
be,
we want.
Yeah,
it'll
we'll
be
whatever we want. And she was like, it does sound good. I mean, I really want to be a mom.
Oh, she's a good mom.
She is. And we both love it. We're blessed and happy and living a good life. But what
and you
I'm
can't
saying,
really say, once you find out the truth about kids, you're like, now I already know them. So it's not like I can even, without guilt, wish I hadn't had kids.
No.
Even though maybe deep down you're thinking, well, it wouldn't have been, that would have been okay.
For single parents, both solo moms and solo dads tend to handle all types of brain labor equally. And yes, single fathers take on significantly more mental work than partnered fathers.
Well, there it is. I mean, kids are work.
There they are.
Somebody's got to do it.
That's it. They're looking right up at you going, you're the dad. What do I do?
Also do this for me. And also I have 5,000 questions I'll be asking you throughout the day. Try not to get sick of it. Don't give me that iPad or you know I'm just going to stare at it and then you're going to feel guilt about it. That's mental work for you too, Dad.
Oh, fun. Oh, this is a strange one.
All right. I like strange, Vin.
How will you flee to Canada if Canada joins the United States?
On what?
There's a poll and a push among Canadians that would like to join America and become the 51st state.
The whole thing would be the 51st state?
Are you in? Or are you out?
I feel like Canada has its own thing going on, and I'm really surprised to hear that. You know, there aren't that many Canadians. Like, they all live within a few miles of the border, most of them. And there's only, like, you know, probably fewer Canadians than there are Californians.
I wouldn't doubt
Even though it's, I think it's the second biggest country. Isn't it, like, Russia's the biggest and then Canada?
You mean land-wise? China? Land-wise.
Land-wise.
China's not bigger than Canada?
Oh, no. No. I think maybe it's Canada first, then Russia? I think it's Russia, then Canada.
It's Russia, Canada, China, Brazil.
Mm. Oh, Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I think of us as being bigger than Brazil, but I guess, you know, that's just the American in me.
Well, anyway, it's not like everybody says. Canada wants to join us. They're not mad at us. They like us.
I don't know. Did they ask the ones on the East Eastern side that speak French and look down their noses at us?
I don't know.
I went to school in Quebec for a semester and they are
Where?
Very big. Quebec. Quebec. That's
Quebec. Quebec. Is Quebec. That the proper,
that's the proper
pronunciation?
Quebec.
Quebec.
The Quebecois.
Okay.
And they have a huge independence movement. They've had it for, I mean,
yeah,
years. And they think Americans know about it because you go there, they love Americans, but they don't like other Canadians that don't come and speak French. Like if the town I was in, if you weren't speaking French, and you were Canadian, they would give you the business. And
Americans are like, business. Wow,
they're like Americans, whatever.
Sounds pretty fun.
Giving them the business.
Yeah, the business.
Oh.
Yeah, shaking their fist in the air. Why I
oughta. Yeah, see, give me the business over here.
You know, I really like the French accent. I don't know if that makes me, you know, prejudiced or something. But, you know, let me know if I'm a bad person.
I think that's one of the best ones.
I really like it. There's this famous female pro surfer who, she's in that 100-foot wave television show that's on Max.
And
you know exactly what it is. And she's French. And her and her partner both have French accents, and I can't get enough of it.
It's so good. Give me a little taste of something.
Can't.
So just say something that they would say, like, we're going to go to the beach today, and we're going to see if the surf is up. Just try it.
I wish I could. I cannot.
You can. Try.
Can you say some French things, and then I'll try to do that, too?
Les poissons.
I can't.
You can.
Poisson. I cannot.
Poisson.
Les poissons.
Les misérables.
The Federal Trade Commission announced a final rule banning hotels and ticketing and short-term rental companies from including hidden junk fees in their total price.
This is a really cool story, actually. This means that you will know what that thing will cost before you're pressing go on, before you get to that final checkout page where you're like, what are all these things?
The problem still remains that if it's the thing you want to do or the place you want to go and you're at the end and the junk fee is $3 and you go,
boom,
I'll take it.
Right.
And then we also know that $3 per person adds up to be what? So it sucks, but yes, they should at least tell you.
Yes. Those things should all be disclosed. And it should tell you exactly what they're for so that people could say, that seems like a bogus fee. We could wind to our... Yeah.
They're giving us the business.
They are giving us the business. And we're taking it. Wow, what do you think? I'm a chump over here? Take out of your business? Take my business elsewhere. What? You're the only game in town? Oh, it turns out you are.
Yeah, you are. Like, where else are you going to get the concert tickets?
I really wanted to go to that show, but I got to take a stand.
People deserve to know up front
what
they're being asked to pay without worrying that later They'll be saddled with mysterious fees that they haven't budgeted for and can't avoid.
Right.
And so again, though, if you want to go see this show, I want to go see Matt Nathanson, and you're going to get the business.
I'm giving you the business.
You're going to take that business so that you can see Matt.
Right. Matt probably doesn't even know what those stupid fees are. Yeah. It honestly does feel like some of this mystery, even at restaurants. I'm like, what are all these mystery fees down here at the bottom? And I can't get it. There's some employee fund thing, or I mean, they're just not. I'm like, but hold on. Shouldn't that have been really spelled out on the menu? Like, I came here with $20.
I don't even think this counts in the fees that, like, if you go to a hotel.
Yes.
Here in San Francisco, in the Bay Area in general, a lot of times they tack on a fee that's going to something that it's paying for something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's a stadium that got built,
right?
Whatever. The tourists take that hit.
Yes.
Which I don't mind, but I'm just saying it's one of those things where.
But you got to put it out there first. It can't be the room is $300 and then you're like, okay, $300 plus tax. And then there's like all these really weird resort fee and like mm-hmm. little ticket local project.
The Golden Gate Bridge needs to be painted fee.
Yeah.
And then
the GGBP.
And Levi's Stadium needs to be built.
We need to reupholster those seats.
Those are all random.
Yeah, we're just making things up. But it does seem obnoxious.
Anyway, the Federal Trade Commission announced a final rule banning hotels and ticketing and short-term rental companies from including hidden junk fees in their total price.
I like it. I hope it helps.
You'll have to be made aware of those things before you hit buy.
And what the hell are they?
Our text number is 800-400-3697. Vinny, if Canada joins the U.S., do we use the metric system?
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
That whole sham that we were fed when we were kids about America's going to switch to the metric. You got to learn this in order because when we switch, you won't know. I'm 50. 49. Soon to be.
35.
Whatever. And no, never has that ever even gotten close to happening here in the United States. Ever.
Yeah. Plus, I have Google, and I can just say, 2 centimeters equals, and then it tells me immediately in the... Is it the imperial measure? What is it? It's like a royal measure.
English.
Yeah, but it's like a...
510 says, an Airbnb owner got mad at me for not renting their property because I didn't want to pay a $200 COVID cleanup fee last month. Alameda Garbage Man via app.
Yeah. You know what?
Good.
Make
good for you.
Make your place more expensive. If you got to get all this money and you're tacking on a $200 fee at the end, like that's just... Just tell people up front. I don't understand why. I guess it's because they need to trick you down the road so you've opened yourself up to this gigantic thing and now you're committed and you found the thing and, I just don't want to learn as I'm checking out that I've got a $200 COVID cleanup fee tacked on the end. That feels fake, made up, and bogus.
925 says, to the husbands that only take on 30% of the brain labor, when we tell you about our schedules and plans, please listen. We don't like repeating ourselves over and over. And reminding you that we had this conversation last week. I'll tell you something that we've had to take on at my house, and it helps. It's not flawless because it only works if you put stuff on the calendar, but we have a shared Google calendar for the family so that I can look at it and go, ah, crap. It's early school day. Mm. Or, oh, fudge, it's this
the stuff
thing.
Has to get entered in.
It's got to be.
Yet another task.
Yeah, but it's.
But yes, it's
when it's
very
there,
helpful.
It's absolutely helpful.
The things you have to do are in red. The things she has to do are in green. The kids have to do are in
try
green.
Try a shared Google, or any calendar could be shared, right?
Sure, right. Yeah, I don't know. I think I have a Google calendar. I think don't we get our work stuff on the Google calendar? I don't know, though. I don't look at that. I wait for my producer to tell me what I have to do.
Oh, your producer.
His name's Maddie. He's on the show.
Maddie's on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
you're going to play it?
Oh, thank you.
Everybody wants to hear it.
He's on the show. There's Maddie.
And there's another Maddie who's about to be on the show.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. One more. I paid $1,500 in fees for Taylor Swift resale tickets. It was ridiculous. Thanks, StubHub. Well, I mean,
you hit take. But it would just be nice, like, charge me more up front. Like, I just, let me swallow that horrible jagged pill at the beginning. Not at the very end when I'm already all the way down the damn road. Maddie's on the phone. I think Matt Nathanson must be here.
He's here and coming up next.
All right.
Yeah.
Wake up, Bay Area.
This is amazing.
With Sarah and Vinny.
You stole the car and let that guy drive?
Alice at 97.3.